What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the season finale of our Crescent City Deep Dive. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Madison.
And this is the Goodish Girls. We are starting strong with an unboxing on this episode. Now, yes. I have already unboxed this, and I'll be posting a video for on our socials, so if you want to see the unboxing, you can go, like, check it out. But Iridescent Fairy Tale, our girl Cassidy over there sent us the coolest stuff, but I gave it all to Madison at like 9:30 at night in a parking lot, and I was like,
just
"Here's
your average
box.
Late night bookish merch dealing going on
yes.
in an empty parking lot."
An empty deal, and so we actually had her wait until she got onto this episode to unbox it. So here we go. What do you have for us today?
Okay, I'm excited. I, like, pre-opened the box because boxes do be a struggle, but now we're looking into things.
The box is being opened. Just imagine it.
So we have a fun bookmark, and it says on the packaging that it's based on the book series Letters of Enchantments by Rebecca Ross. It's a metal bookmark, and it says, "It helps to know that I'm not alone tonight, even as I sit in quiet darkness."
Okay, so I'm going to hold it up because I did open mine already, so that way, like, everybody can really see what it looks like.
Yes.
Please excuse the light.
I know, the light
They're
is
cute, the
villain.
Right? And the
so
back
cute.
Is, like, all nice and gold.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, like, the little golden ticket from Charlie and Jocko Factory.
Yes! Agreed. And it's kind of, it's heavy, too. I'm not going to lose it.
Yeah. And then I got this cute little pin, and it's Crescent City.
The pin is my favorite. The pin was the cutest thing.
Cup.
Oh, look at how cute that is. And there's a little otter on it.
A little otter. It has one of the gates and angel wings, and it has the city and the cup. I'm adding it to on my little tote bag that I take everywhere with me. I have, like, a little enamel pin collection that mm-hmm. I got going on. So I'm excited to add this on my bag.
I got a pin board. Look at it.
Wow.
So she's right here in the middle. She cute.
Beautiful. And then this one, I'm so excited for. Because I have always wanted a little sword. And it's not any sword, though. It's the sword from Fourth Wing. So it's the sword that technically, spoiler alert if you have not read Onyx Storm, but it's technically the sword, I believe, that Zayden takes the emerald out to make Violet's ring.
So, fun fact, I don't know if you know this, but Cassidy from Iridescent Fairy Tale actually helped design the new merch in Rebecca Yaros' shop online.
That's really cool. I think that's something.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, it's kind of heavy. Cool. Like, it's like a real, like, I think it's supposed to be like a letter opener, but I will not be using it to open letters. I will only be using it for display and or violence.
Yeah. I love this. I need to figure out, I feel like I need to have like a, I feel like I want to do some, like some push pins. and have it be like a little sword holder over my books.
Oh yeah, that'd be cute.
I'm gonna put that there as a reminder, because that would be cute. And now the big ticket item. Whoa. Wow. I'm gonna get emo, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is book one, so this is gonna go on the cover. And it has the crescent moon and the angel wings. And then for the back, it has the iconic through love, all is possible.
So I love them so much.
And I like that the letters are textured.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like gold embossed. I think that's what it's called. Sure.
We'll go with that.
I feel so special holding these. I fangirled so hard. Even in like the video when I was like doing our unboxing, I was trying to play it so cool, but like, look at that.
Yeah.
She cute. She real cute. Okay, show them the next one.
I'm looking at the second one. So we have another gate, the title, and then we have the sword. And on the back of this one, it says, "You remind me that I'm alive."
So cute. All right, show them the third one.
Last one, we got the moon and the star and the title. And then this one's quote is, evil always lingered just below us, waiting to snatch us in its jaws. Iconic. Interesting. I feel like the spine is just like Crescent City, because it's the stars, because Starborn, and then the Crescent City. But it also kind of looks like Feyre's tattoo.
Ooh, that's
don't know if that was intentional, but I was like, wait a minute, you that look familiar.
Very interesting.
I know you. Probably not.
Wow. These are so cute. I'm obsessed with them. Thank you, Iridescent Fairy Tale. Cassidy, you are amazing. We really appreciate you. Your creations are so beautiful. We cannot wait to display these. And I'm going to say it, all of our episodes, you will see this Crescent City series here, because I'm just going to have it up there forever. So
yeah,
it may be on a different shelf, but it'll be somewhere in the background, because I do reorganize quite a bit.
Yeah, I think I might reorganize every so often. I think I might switch out Akatar for a little bit for Crescent City. And I do want to get like a little holder for my sword for Fourth Lane.
Yes. So I put mine up here. Next to my Starlight Kindle Co. Look at my little dragon holds
it. Oh, that's smart.
See, cute. She stays there now.
That's smart. I'm gonna have to see if I can get either the dragon or the rune to hold it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that was so fun. I feel like it was Christmas.
I know. Every time we get book mail, it feels like Christmas. I'm just like,
I love book mail. I love book mail. It's so good. I know. Every time it shows up, I'm like, oh, a little package in the mail. So, and it's nice. It's nice that like people want us to read their books, because we want to read your books. So, yes, we want to show off your things. We want to read your books. We want to do all the things. So, again, thank you so much, Iridescent Fairy Tale. We are so appreciative. What a fun thing to put in our videos on our very final episode of Crescent City. Are you ready to get into this?
Yeah. It feels like we just started this.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does
still
feel like
summer.
It's wild because it's like 97 chapters. Like, yeah, it's a lot.
Sure is.
It is a lot of information. But I think we've done a good job. Like,
oh yeah.
I had fun. People could listen along and not have to worry about spoilers. Because it is a kind of a hard book to, like, get into and keep up with everything. Not that it's a bad book. It's a great book. But, like, it's a lot of information to process.
Mm-hmm. And so, even though it's a lot of info, this is my favorite book in the whole entire series. I'm a book one girly.
Yeah, I am Crescent City. Then I'm Court of Silver Flames. Then everything else.
Oh, I don't know what I am. If we're going like book by book, I have no idea. If we're talking series, then I feel like I need to do a reread before I determine if Throne of Glass is above ACOTAR. But it's like those two to be determined, mm-hmm. and then Crescent City.
I feel like Throne of Glass has to be up there for you, because I think you talk about Throne of Glass on like a regular basis way more than you talk about ACOTAR.
How could you not? Okay. It's been years since I've read ACOTAR, and like if I'm immersed in the world through like a book event, like whenever I went to mm-hmm. my first book event where it was Starfall themed, if I would have had my set with me, I would have done a reread right then and there of the entire series, but I didn't. All I had was Silver Flames, so I just did a little Silver mm-hmm. Flames reread.
Well, it's the best book of the whole series, so.
I know, I love that one. I can't
it's my favorite
more.
Book of the series. Same.
I'm a Nesta girly. But I just finished Throne of Glass for the first time, which is just like a canon event in itself.
She's still healing.
I'll never not recover from Throne of Glass. And plus, so many of my friends are all now, like, they've read ACOTAR. They're, like, on the fence about Crescent City because they know it's a lot and they know mm-hmm. that it's not finished. So they're like, maybe we'll do Throne of Glass first and then Crescent City. And I'm like, if you do Throne of Glass, and if you need someone to yap with you, I will yap back 100%.
Yeah. I feel like we need to get you on, like, another podcast, like, go on someone else's podcast that's deep diving Throne of Glass, so we can, like, yap with
please.
Them.
Please.
If you have a podcast and you're deep diving Throne of Glass, we want to hang out with you.
Let your
we wanna talk.
Know,
we want to talk with you.
I have so books. Many unhinged notes in my Kindle, because Throne of Glass mm-hmm. is also the first time I ever did a buddy read, and it was so fun.
Oh, that's
and that
cute.
Was the invention for my read. TED Talks.
Yes. Yeah, if you have a podcast, Throne of Glass, let us
let
chat.
Your girl, no. Holler at your girl.
Holler at your girl. I'm gonna get Madison on there. I love that. Thanks. I don't know if I would deep dab Throne of Glass, just because I feel like A, it would take me a freaking century, because it's like 8 million books, and yeah. I don't know, I feel like maybe it's imposter syndrome, I don't know if I'd do it justice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's valid. I will be doing a reread-ish mm-hmm. later, because I know spring of 2026, allegedly, they're releasing the graphic audio for just Throne of Glass, and they're working on making the other books. So I think mm-hmm. I might just like listen to a book at a time. Then maybe yeah. I don't know. I like already want to reread it. My friend that I did the buddy read with, she wants to go ahead and reread it, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. there's so many books I need to read, but it's so good.
So good.
I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox.
Let's do it. Crescent City, here we go. This is our final episode. We are covering chapters 87 all the way through the end, epilogue included. So if you listen to the entire book of Crescent City, you are safe here. Here we yes. go. Let's do it. So at this point, Rune is panicking, right? Bryce is like running through the streets of Lunathian because everything is wild. So during this time, and it's still, like, switching back and forth, which I thought was kind of interesting that you would get both perspectives between, like, what's happening with Bryce and what's happening at the summit. Mm-hmm. So Fury notices something that's happening to Bryce, and there is a bright light glowing from her chest. And, like, gravity is not working right now, so materials are, like, floating around her. So they're, like, I don't know what's happening. We know what's happening now, obviously. But, like, in that moment, they were like, what the fuck is going on with her? And as Bryce is running, she approaches the gate. And she says, as she's running, she's like, I am Bryce Quinlan, heir to the Starborn Fae. And at this moment, we also get a flashback, which we have not gotten for quite a few chapters. And if you guys remember, like, back in those few chapters, this is the moment where Bryce and Danica are trying to free the animals from the smugglers, and there was like a lot of males there, and they almost had both of the girls in the right place to kill them, but that night Danica was let in on the secret that Bryce was holding. She told Danica that she loved her and to close her eyes, and a bright light shone from her chest and she was able to blind everybody, basically, and then kill all the males with the rifle that she had, which is the only reason that they survived that night. So the Autumn King, the Asteri, Midgard, and Rune did not know about this light power. Like, this is top secret to literally everybody but, like, three people on the planet. So, and they're all finding out about this in the moment. I can't even imagine what they were thinking or feeling.
Shock. Anger, probably, anger. From one party.
Yeah.
Disbelief.
It's nuts. So, we also learned that this light that is coming out of Bryce's chest is a literal star from another planet. I feel like those are such important words. Like, it being from another planet.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 dot.
Sorry. There's, like, I'm like, shuffling through all. I gotta look for my answer. I gotta find it. Gotta look for my
She's
point.
She's searching.
That's what, if you, like, go back in all of the episodes, like, anytime before I speak, you always see me, like, just looking out into the distance because I gotta find my thought. Yeah, because I feel like there's two specific...
I don't think I've ever noticed that.
Really? I do it all the time. I'm just like, huh? There.
That's so yeah, funny.
Because I feel like there might... Well... Because I feel like all three series talks about Starlight. But I feel like for Crescent City, there's like a stronger pull towards one over the other. I don't know. But yeah, it is interesting.
I think that's just an interesting line to keep like in mind for the future and for other series. So, however, at this point now, though, it is literally just a light. Like, it doesn't have any power that's connected to it. And Bryce had originally planned to share this secret with Rune, but then when she realized what the gift of being a Starborn Fae meant to Rune and how it was literally the only thing the Autumn King credited him with, she chose not to tell anybody. Like, the Autumn King is obviously, you know, like, such an asshole, right? And it was the only thing that he ever even acknowledged Rune's existence for, basically. So she was like, I'm good. Like, I'll just keep this, right? But when her and Danica were in that position, Danica then found out the truth as well. So there's, like, literally, Bryce knows, obviously, Danica knows, Ember, Randall, that's it. So, like, no people knew. So the Star Sword, which is Rune's sword originally, literally was calling to Bryce when she was around it. So, like, when Rune brought it down to the gallery, it was, like, calling to Bryce. She could feel its power, and she had to do everything that she could to not touch it, not grab it, right? Because then they would know. But it was interesting because the sword, it says that the sword recognized her as kin and like calls to like, which I hope that you have read ACOTAR and Throne of Glass before you read Crescent City. If you didn't, that's okay. Like, that's so fine. But I hope that you have, because like calls to like is such an important sentence in the entire Massverse. It's used across the board.
And I feel like whenever you bring up this point, it, like, whenever I think of the phrase like calls to like, I'm just like, oh, like calls to like. But now after reading Quicksilver, all I can hear is, like, the little voices now. I'm like, that had to have been annoying to be like, shh, quiet. You're not supposed to know about me, and I'm not supposed to know about you.
Shush.
Just talk to my brother. Don't talk to me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so like calls to like, it's a huge, huge, huge thing. So, and it was interesting that it recognized her as kin, because I don't think that it recognizes Rune as actual kin. Am I wrong on that?
I think it might, but I just think because they both vary in the amount of starlight that they have, because Rune, oh, poor boy.
He's got a little bit.
Baby boy. He has a little kernel that whenever, in the beginning of the book, whenever his dad was like, can you summon up a little bit of your starlight and be useful for once? And, like,
he's like, I could try.
Rune was struggle busing the whole time to just even get, like, a little bit of light to stay.
Yeah.
But Bryce is just, like, starlight, baby.
Mm-hmm. She's beaming. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And as she's running through, like, again, she's running through Lunathi and she's going to the gate. The goal of this journey right now is to use all of her starlight and push it into the gate and ask the gate to close the portal. So hopefully that works. So in chapter 88, we learn that the Starborn Prince, who we will learn about later on in the other books in this series as well, but like he's important and we will learn a lot about him. But in this book, we don't hear too much. But it's important because everybody at the summit is noting that they made not only one, but two Starborn offspring, which is like insane because the light that is emitting from Bryce has not been seen for a really, 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 really long time. So everyone's sorry, very room. Shocked at this point. So yes, sorry, room, baby boy. But Sis Bryce is pulling up. So Bryce's light did end up sealing the portal. So like they got through, gate's good. That gate is closed. But as you guys know, every gate is open to a portal in hell right now. So her magic was able to close one gate, but she's not in the rest of them right now. So the Autumn King freaking killed me. He kills me. This man is the worst because his daughter's literally running through the streets. She's got magic. Everything is wild. And his first act, once he like gets out of his shell shock, is to call her mom. He's calling Ember. And he's like, meh, 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 you're a bitch. Like, meh, 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 you didn't tell me about this. And she's like, bro, you couldn't handle the truth. That's just what he sounds to like did to me.
This sounds reminding me of like whenever Ipa or someone would just like yell through the gate, just like
yeah, yes. It reminded me of
jaw popping,
like the dad in Drac in the like Hotel Transylvania. I do not say blah blah blah. Yes, you yeah. do. That's the Autumn King. Blah blah blah, blah blah. He does say blah blah blah. So yes, blah, 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 is what the Autumn King sounds like to me when he speaks. So, and the whole series, he sounds like that to me. Every time he sees, he's like, wub, 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 wub.
Just like a Charlie Brown adult.
Wah, yes. Wah, 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 wah. Exactly. So, Autumn King calls Ember Quinlan. That's a move that he made. I don't know if it was a good one. Anyways, he calls her a bitch. And I was like, LOL. Like, that's so clever. So original, buddy. And we learn in that moment that way back when the Autumn King's guards caught, like, Ember and Randall and Bryce, it wasn't Randall that saved them. Like, the story is that Randall saved them. But it was actually Bryce fucking Quinlan.
Little and baby Bryce.
It's another full circle moment, right, of, like, what blinds an oracle? The question that we've been asked this entire book. Bryce fucking Quinlan, that's who. Bryce is Starlight. That's what blinds an oracle. Lady couldn't see for days. So she's blinded by that light. And again, like we know that like Ember knew and Danica knew and Randall. But now everybody knows. So the tests, like, because like when they're trying to figure out everybody's power, right, they get tested, as I said before. It shows that she had nothing, like no, pretty much no power, like next to the bottom. So again, we know that this gift right here that she has is just Starlight. Which I think it was so interesting that these chapters leading up to the end kept saying that. Like, there's no power. There's no power. There's no power.
Because SJM does her hardest to do a misdirect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she sure does. And we also learn, and like, Ember kind of tells them, like, Bryce's whole visit back when she was younger to, like, the royal family, the Autumn King, Rune, the Oracle, all that, was to see if that family was capable of taking in the information of what Bryce was and ultimately decided it was not worth the risk. And it's also noted that in these chapters that the horn, which is again in Bryce's back in the tattoo, only worked because she is a Starborn Fae. So if, like, hindsight, right, let's say like Danica never found out what Bryce was. She never could have put the horn in there. She never would have known what to, like, she would have done something totally different with it, and Bryce never would have went on this journey. So it's, like, very wild full circle moment, in my opinion. Like, that night that they not only became, like, soul friends more than they already were, right? Mm-hmm. Like something that bonded them. That triggered an entire, like, chasm of events.
Yeah, because I feel like if Danica never put the horn into Bryce, like, I don't know if a lot would have actually happened. Like, mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, maybe Bryce would have still been put on the path of trying to solve the case just due to association with Danica.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe she's still... I don't know.
But, like, would Danica have, like, hid the horn in a better place? Or a place as clever as she did, right? Or would Micah have found the horn?
I think Micah probably would have found the horn faster. Because... like, why would you ever think, oh, it's on a person?
Right. And the necklace was protecting her.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as people don't like Danica, which I understand. Like, I get why a lot of people don't like Danica. But, like, girl was pretty clever. She was pretty smart. Yeah. She was smart, in my opinion.
Whenever I first read this book, I was so disappointed that Danica died because I low-key wanted this to be Danica's book and not Bryce's. And I was like, we gotta follow Bryce. Like, I get frustrated with Danica as the series continues, mm-hmm. but I don't think I've ever hated Danica.
There's a lot of people online that, like, they're like, she was a terrible friend. They were both party girls, okay? Like, they...
I definitely referenced Danica with other characters. I'm like, you two need to be gone.
They definitely, like, they both have their flaws. Yes. Like, Bryce made just as many mistakes. So, it's interesting. I don't know. Like, what would have happened if that one night back in the day never would have happened? That's just such an iconic, important moment. But we don't ever really know that until the end of the book. So, during this time, right, everything is wild. Bryce is trying to close these gates. Everyone is super distracted, so Hypaxia scoots her little booty over to Hines and uses her witchy magic to remove the halo on his brow. Scoots over and she grabs his hand and she's like, hello, hey, my powers. And then freaking Sandriel is a snitch and she's like texting the Asteri about everything. Snitches get stitches and they end up in ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Sandriel. Yeah, and I was like, bro, look at what's happening on TV and you're me texting. Get off your phone.
Pay attention.
Come back to reality, Sandriel. You're going to rot your brain. Watch what's on the TV. Yeah, so Sandriel's a snitch. And Hunt doesn't have a halo anymore, so get ready, girl.
Because with the tattoo gone, my baby is back. He's not free.
Hunt's back, baby.
But his power's back. and his first course of action, now that the halo is gone, is he is summoning up all of his lightning and turns towards Sandriel. Rune saw the rage in Hunt's eyes, rightfully so, and he knew that Sandriel signed her life away as soon as she made it known that she had actively signed Bryce's life away to the Asteri. So, the entire conference room shook from Hunt's power, and Rune tackled Hypaxia out of harm's way because...
Get that girl out of here.
Ugh. Such an iconic moment. But anywho, focus.
Where do I sign up to be tackled by Rune Dannon? Crown Prince of the Balbaran Fae.
Listen.
I would like to sign up for that, please.
Let a girl know.
Yeah. When and where?
That man knows three things with absolute certainty, and if you don't know what that phrase means, you'll learn in the next book.
You didn't listen to any of these episodes.
Well, no, they don't say it until the next book. Because it's literally the chapter opener of Rune Dannon knew three things with absolute certainty.
Oh, damn. All right. Edit that out. I don't want to look dumb.
I mean, we do reference it a lot, but Anywho, so after Rune tackled Hypaxia to get her out of harm's way, because we love a man who cares, Hunt unleashed his power on Sandriel, and time literally slowed down. Hypaxia knew that she was taking a gamble by setting Hunt free, and she knew that she'd be killed for removing the halo regardless. But her gamble paid off, because as soon as the smoke and the debris cleared and time literally resumed, it showed that Hunt was revealed covered in dust and blood, holding a severed Sandriel's head frozen in a scream. No button eyes to be seen. But it's very, huh?
I said bye, bitch.
Yeah, good riddance. But it reminds me of another really cool girlie in another book. So, not gonna say who if you haven't read a certain series, but if you know, you know. Hunt drops.
I don't think I know.
Yes, you do. Read my notes. Okay.
Ah, yes, I now know.
I'm like, you know.
You know. I was just like, I was not know. Even looking at her notes. I was like, I don't know. I know. I now know.
You've been Carry on. You just forgot.
I did. I was like, I don't know what you mean. Can't relate.
Anywho, Bryce drops the head, and every angel in the summit room bowed, and I need a painting of that. There is a specific yes. artist. I can't remember her handle, but she makes like the most beautiful bookish art. And I can just see a very angelic painting of this, and like the little iridescent accents that she adds to her paintings. And mm-hmm. ugh, I need this moment in a painting form, please. But as Hunt is done doing the thing, he looks to Fury and he says, "Forget the Asteri and get your helicopter here now." And essentially, Hunt, Fury, Darian, Rune, and surprisingly, Amalie is like, "I'll help too." But they all go to the chopper, while Hypaxia and Jezebel stay behind to keep all the other city heads to like keep them safe, but also just to keep them honest, because mm-hmm. still got the Autumn King there. You got Sabine there, then you got the poor Prime, bless his soul.
Just have a nap, little buddy.
He gives me such anxiety.
I know. Protect the Prime.
Protect the Prime. But Hunt finds that he easily falls back into his commander role, and after he dishes out the order, he turns back to Rune and asks if he knew about the night with Bryce and Juniper on the roof, because that was referenced. And Rune says mm-hmm. that Bryce was a ghost for a long time, but Hunt had brought her back to life.
Yes, he did.
You know, for someone who brought her back to life, you think Homeboy would have earned some ball of privileges sooner on, but whatever.
I know. I hear you.
But
Thank you, Hunt.
Back to Bryce's... Thank you, Hunt. Back to Bryce's POV for a moment. She marvels that, ta-da, she got the gate working with a little bit of the starlight that she put into it. And in that moment, Bryce knew that it wouldn't be much longer. In that moment, she doesn't know whether it'd be much longer until help arrives or until she would meet her end. She wasn't sure what would happen first. She just knew that something would happen, because homegirl be doing the most, and she is tired, and I get it. But Fury and Co. are flying to the city on their way to Bryce and getting intel from Deck and Hypaxia on the way there. So Hypaxia and Deck, they're the little voices in the ear. They inform Fury and Co. that Bryce is drained and she's safe near the powered gate, only until the demons learn not to fear the starlight anymore. They get a reading that the Asterian Guard is sending an Imperial tank with brimstone missile launchers to blast the city to dust to take care of the demons, but also now, thanks to Sandriel, also to take care of Bryce. We also learn in this moment that brimstone missiles are made of pure magic and spells to not only do a lot of damage, but also to slow one's healings. And they take a while to make, which also we learn allows for a little bit of time between rounds being reloaded.
Bro, that, the thought of that is so scary to me.
Which part?
The missile. Like, the thought of how that missile is made and what it does and how catastrophic it is so stressful to me, even though it's in a book.
Yeah, this was, like, one of the times where I'm like, can we not have modern technology? Because that be stressing me out.
Actually, let's just go back to the time without phones.
Let's go back to the Renaissance.
Yes, to the Renaissance, where there is no big scary tanks and giant missiles that slow healing down to make, no, like, missiles, the worst impact.
No tanks, no mech suits, just...
No, thank you.
Just a good old sword. It's all you need.
Just a good sword. A sword, some leathers, and a turkey leg.
A turkey leg.
Yeah, at the Renaissance. Don't you get a turkey leg there?
I've only had one turkey leg, and it was kind of meh.
Girl, you didn't have a good turkey leg.
I did it for the vibes. I also did it at Disney, and maybe it's just Disney turkey legs, but...
Well, no, the vibes are... Disney's not where I'm going to get a turkey leg. That's like... I get a Disney, I get a Diet Coke.
Middle school me that saw a massive turkey leg, and I'm like, that is what
okay,
I want.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Madison. Let's... You haven't had a turkey leg since fucking high school, and you were... Girl!
I mean, okay.
Okay, when you go to your next Renaissance fair...
I've also please... never been to a Renaissance fair, because every time I find out about them, I find out about them too late. And it's like, look what happened, and all the fun you missed.
I'm oh my
like,
god. You know what we should just do? Let's just go to medieval fair? Times. I mean, yes, that too. But let's just go to medieval times.
Do they have turkey legs?
Yes. I'm pretty sure. Right? You eat with your hands? There's, like, meats and stuff?
I eat with your hands.
I think it's a turkey leg.
I don't know. I'll have to look back at their menu.
I'm going to Google it. Do I get a turkey leg at medieval times?
Because I
I'm Googling
think,
it. Oh, we damn gonna... it. It's roasted chicken. That's See? Fine.
Because I think Not we were same. Going to do medieval times if I worked Christmas. Because last year I worked Christmas. So there was like a murder mystery dinner that we went to. And that was my Christmas. If I worked this Christmas, we were going to do a medieval Christmas. But I was looking at their menu and I'm like, can't eat that. Can't have that. Could eat that. But that might be a gamble.
No.
Also, That's this one is going to be my new
Can
fidget.
You eat a turkey leg?
Yeah, turkey's bland. Like,
okay,
I got so many Both messages seasonings. From people being like, thinking of you during Thanksgiving. I hope you can eat. I'm like, Thanksgiving is the season of bland food, so I'm golden.
Okay, good. I was like, that's such
I'm like, I might not eat much,
somebody.
But
to be eating.
Thanksgiving food, it do be bland.
Yes.
Not a lot of seasoning, unfortunately.
One day, when you feel better and you are cured of your hot girl tummy issues, I am going to take you to the Renaissance Fair, and we are going to eat a turkey leg together.
I can do a turkey leg. I just need the Renaissance Fair.
But it
Fair
has to have seasonings.
Come back.
It has to be seasoned.
Yeah, listen. They had a potluck at work, and someone made a turkey, and they did their turkey in a grill. If you don't make your turkey in a grill, maybe look into that, because that is like the first turkey I ever had that wasn't dry as all get out, and it was so Damn. Good. Because like my dad does the turkey in a smoker, and like it's a little dry, but he does add some flavoring, so it's not that bad. But I was like, turkey can be juicy. Hello,
bro. We like fry our turkey, like deep fry in a bucket, like in the big metal
pan. Can't do fried foods.
Oh, well, I do. I know. I'm sorry.
I gave up chicken nuggies a long time ago. Unless they're grilled chicken
nuggies.
It's not
nuggies,
breaded,
then
I can do
if that,
that
counts. Just oil. Just peanut oil. Probably not. One day when you're feeling better.
I have to dab it a lot with a napkin.
It's really not as greasy as you would think. Like, the skin is super, super crispy because you, like, season it, right? But then the meat is just juicy. Like, it, like, locks it all in.
Yeah, maybe
it's not really oily. One day. But anyways, to the Renaissance to get a turkey leg.
To the Renaissance.
And we'll bring our tiny daggers.
Yes. So, Fury and the Autumn King try to make contact with the Imperial unit to get them to abort their mission, but, wouldn't you know it, no one's answering. Hunt is watching as these three tanks on the outskirts of town take aim and fire three missiles into the city towards Bryce. The missiles aim true, even though one of them landed in a neighborhood far away from where Bryce was. The impact was still enough to bring her surroundings down, entrapping her foot under a block of concrete, making her unable to free herself. So, back to Fury & Co. Rune says that the tanks are going to fire again, and Fury tries to, again, get the tanks to call off their missiles, but no one's answering. So, Hunt tells Fury to take the chopper as high as it will go, and she does so in silent understanding. Hunt and Rune also share a similar look. And as Fury reaches altitude, Hunt unhooks himself from the gunner where he is seated and falls into his last flight. And as Hunt is falling, he takes note of where the missile will hit, not directly on Bryce, but close enough to the fact that it will still probably take her life. So he summons all of his power, and with his wings splayed, he shields Bryce with his body.
Bro, that shit hurt me right in the heart.
I get it, and I applaud heroism, but I'm like, can we just all be safe?
There is no safe. If I was reading this, and I was like, if Hunt Athalar dies, I'm going to DNF the series.
That was me with Syrinx. I was like, if this little lion cat dog pug thing goes...
Oh, yeah.
I'm also gone.
If they kill any animal, I'm out.
Yeah.
I cannot.
There was another part, another chapter that I think I talk about where, like, as I was typing it, it made me a little emo. Like, maybe a little bit more emo than Lily's chapter, surprisingly.
Oh.
I don't know.
In this book?
Yes.
What scene?
We'll get there.
Okay, all right. Because I was like, Lahava literally crushes my spirit every time I even think about it.
I know. I feel like... Yes, she damaged my soul, but I feel like there's other people who damaged my soul more. I don't know.
Okay, if you're listening to this on Spotify, I need you guys to know that I am, what do they say in the books? She narrowed her eyes to slits.
Let me move my notes so I can see the death stare.
The death glare.
The withering
stare. What
are
you talking about? What do you mean? I cry every time I read it.
I think I got emo. I don't know if I cried this time around. I definitely didn't cry the first time around I read it, because that was before I discovered emotions. I know. I, like, never cry during movies. I used to never cry over books. Now I at least upgraded to crying over books, but I still have yet to watch a movie and cry over a movie.
That's fair. Okay, I'm interested to see when we get forward what scene you were more emotional about besides Lahava dramatically sacrificing her own life.
Maybe I would say I got emo if, like, that was my chapter to cover, but because I got to skip over it again, I was like, oh, I'm fine. I did get emo. I wasn't as affected, I don't think.
I will never in my life read that chapter again.
See, and I could. Like, that's one chapter where I'm like, I could read it and I'll be sad and I'll appreciate the sacrifice. But there's, like, other chapters of other books where I'm just like, I don't want to sign up for that. Again.
Can't relate.
Like, I would go into detail about who I'm talking about, but I'm like, that would be spoilers. But there are some people that I'm just like, my Shayla. Anywho. Chapter 91. So, Bryce and Hunt, they survive the missile blast. However, Hunt is bloodied. He is burned. His legs are gone. His arm is gone. There's a gaping hole. Where are you thinking of the same thing that I'm thinking of? Or did you yawn? No, you're laughing. So I think we're thinking of the same audio. Yes?
I don't know. My I just leg think
was
of like.
Cut off. My arm was cut off.
And I just, like, because he has wings and it reminds me of a bird. I just thought of, like, a fried chicken.
I gotta go. That is not where I thought you were going with that. I have somewhere I need like to be, crispy chicken. Actually. Wow.
I can't. I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
I'm literally crying.
I was just thinking of the fun audio on TikTok where it's like the guy going like his leg was cut off, his arm was cut off, not chicken.
I had a Red Bull today, dude. I'm unhinged.
I love that for you. Anywho, Bryce and Hunt survived. Bryce doing better than Hunt, though. However, Bryce touches the pad on the gate, asking for anyone to come to literally any other gate and touch the disc. The gate, as we know, and as it's re-explained again, is a conduit, and she needs one other person there to anchor her so that she can make the drop. Because her first light will spread to all of the gates, lighting them up and sending the demons away and essentially closing the gates. So right now, mm-hmm. she is using those gates to her advantage, and we are waiting for literally anyone to answer. And Bryce mm-hmm. tells Hunt to hold on and that she loves him.
That was a good moment.
I needed that.
Even from me, that was a good moment.
My soul needed that. But as Bryce is just going through it, she's kind of giving up, she's tired, she's holding out for a hero. Mm-hmm. And very faintly, through the gate, Bryce hears someone from the Bone Quarter say, "Light it up." And that voice is Danica Fendir.
Danica Fendir. Yeah, so... Chapter 92, if you've read Crescent City, I love that for you. If you can listen to it, I do recommend. If you can't, just listen to this one audio clip. Because Elizabeth Evans, who is the audiobook narrator, deserves a goddamn award for this line alone. Light it up, Danica. Light it up. Light it up. Light it up. Like...
The graphic artist did a number on me for this one.
I have not heard the graphic audio version. I've only heard, like, the actual version, like, from the original audio.
I kind of want to try to find it.
I say we should listen to the opposite ones that we haven't listened to. But, like, it gives me goosebumps every single time. Can you win awards in audiobook narration for just one line in a book? Like, is that a thing? I wonder if that's a thing.
I don't know about one line, but they do have awards...
Line of the year. That's real. It's a good line. So please nominate Elizabeth Evans for an award in that moment alone. All right. So Bryce makes the drop, right? And we know that the drop is like she's dropping all the way to the bottom. She needs an anchor to bring her back up to the real world. So Danica is there. And we know, again, that Danica is still dead. She's not like alive and secretly. She is truly dead. And she had a small kernel of energy still left in her soul that she is now able to use. But the consensus at the summit is that she is unable to use her soul as an anchor because she is not alive. So everyone is like, okay, she's making the drop, but like, she's not coming back. So I don't know. On the graph that they are looking at, that's showing her power scale, right? She is at basically zero, like not even significant in any way, shape, or form. So she goes to that power scale, but then she keeps going, right? And it's noted that on the gate, there's a plaque. And the plaque is not just a saying, but it's actually a blessing. The power of the gates contained power from every single person who have ever touched it and ever given a kernel of their energy to, right? And all of that magic is now going to Bryce. So Bryce is now like super, super powerful. So she's going, and she's above room, and then she's going, and she is now a decimal point above the Autumn King. And honestly, if that is not a slap in the face of that man, I don't know what it is. So I laugh at Sarah because I feel like there was an opportunity to be like, and now she's way above the Autumn King. Like, she's going. But I love that it was literally just a, like, just a titch above him. Just enough to be like, I'm more powerful than you. Haha. So I thought that was clever. And so when she's doing this, she's making the drop. She's getting all the light. So the light is now going to all of the gates and healing the city and closing all of the portals. So things are finally starting to like come back down from the chaos, right? So now Bryce is literally stuck at the bottom and no one believed that Danica could help her come back up. She's stuck.
So chapter 93. So Bryce pulls back from Danica to essentially get a good look at her friend, because this is the first time she's seeing her friend in years. And even mm-hmm. though it's like not truly physically Danica, it's still her essence, this is also probably the last time she's ever going to see Danica. Bryce can feel the world up above, but tells Danica that she doesn't think she can make the ascent because it's just too hard without her. Danica tells Bryce that the rest of the pack are buying her time by holding off the Reapers just so that she can be here with Bryce, and that Connor wouldn't want her to give up. My sweet little angel baby boy.
Yeah.
So not only does Danica not want Bryce to give up, Connor doesn't want Bryce to give up, and Danica also mentions, what about the angel? Who is now healed, by the way? And Bryce is kind of just like, what about him? And Danica says, is Hunt Athalar really just a guy to you? And why is it somehow a mark against your strength to admit that there is someone who happens to be male worth returning to? And to that, like, even whenever I was writing mm-hmm. it in my notes, you know that meme of the guy that's like just sipping on his drink, just like crosses his leg? I'm like, I'm waiting, Bryce, to hear your answer, because I would also like to know, it's not a crime to depend on someone else who happens to be a male. Like, mm-hmm. they do have their moments. Case in point, your father. But I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
Hunt's yeah. not a bad guy.
I do like the meme that says, he's literally just a guy. Hit him with your car.
I don't know if I've seen that one. Oh, yes, so I have. Yes, I have.
He's literally just a guy. Hit him with your car.
But don't hit Hunt with your car.
Don't hit Hunt with your car. Do not hit Hunt Athalar with a vehicle. Thank you.
No. Thank you for your time. Bryce tells Danica that she is scared. And Danica, this is a really, really good quote that I like from this book that Danica says. And whenever Bryce tells Danica that she is scared, Danica responds by saying, that's the point of it, Bryce, of life. To live, to love, knowing that it might all vanish tomorrow, it makes everything that much more precious. And Danica mm-hmm. encourages Bryce to try at least just once to make that ascent, but she needs to decide now because quite literally the clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this because everyone at the summit is watching Bryce's timer to her mm-hmm. literal life as it is ticking away. And everyone is nervous because with how deep Bryce went, biologically, Bryce isn't equipped to make it back up. Bryce knows it. Everyone at the summit knows it. Yep. And as they are watching the little seconds count down and her little red dot on the monitor staying where it is, the clock finally stops at 0.003 seconds as Bryce is finally running to make her ascent.
Yep.
Chills.
She pushing it.
She, listen.
To the limit.
Homegirl loves to raise my blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yes.
So, with literally just a crumb of time left, Bryce is booking it. And Danica is running alongside Bryce, encouraging her to go faster, keep going, and to not stop. And as they are running, as Bryce is making that ascent, Danica gives over the last piece of her that remains so that Bryce can make it. And it didn't hit whenever I was reading the chapter, but writing the notes, like, I'm not as, like, in tune, and it lets my brain, like, kind of lollygag. Mm-hmm. But whenever I was writing this scene, and it was, like, Bryce is running, Danica's right there behind her, and Danica gives, like, the last little kernel of power that she needs to make it. It was giving Bing Bong.
Oh, my God.
That... Ooh. Riley, you made it.
Fucking
take her to the soundtrack. Moon for me.
Okay, so I have a story for you.
Okay.
There is a video on TikTok, and I know that you can't relate because you're not mom, but for moms out there, I think you can relate. So there is a video out there where it's that soundtrack where it's like, go, go save Riley. And it's literally like present day mom who made it through postpartum and babyhood is looking at newborn mom holding a baby with a burp rag. Her hair's a mess. She's covered in vomit. Like,
I think I have seen those videos.
Go save Riley. And I'm like, I sob every single time. It kills me. Yeah. Every time.
Danica was fuck giving that Bing Bong.
No.
And Danica no truly Bing is. Danica is
Bing Bong. Bing,
whoa. That was a crisp sound. Danica truly is Bing Bong. Because as she gives that extra little kernel of power to help Bryce finish her ascent, literally anything tying Danica to any part of the world is gone. Her essence, her physical body's been long gone, but S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not going to be making that return back to the Bone Quarter. And even Bryce knows it. But as everyone at the summit is still watching Bryce make her ascent, the Autumn King, of course, has some words to say. And he remarks on how this is impossible and how previous studies of others using artificial substances as anchors for their own personal gains... Mm-hmm. They have all died whenever they tried doing this. So he's like, why is this working for Bryce when everything else has failed? Because Bryce, again, she has no anchor. And she
so
is
she's
alone.
Got Bing Bong, Autumn King.
She's
so
got Bing Bong.
No one but, else had Bing Bong in their studies.
So even though Bryce has no physical anchor holding her, anchoring her to make this ascent, and she is truly alone, it is the teary-eyed Sabine who says that she is not alone. And then with that, everyone at the summit kind of also comes to the realization that Danica was in fact Bryce's anchor. It did in fact work, but now what was left of Danica is gone. And that was Danica's last act of
that's
helpfulness.
So
that was her
sad.
Bing Bong yeah. moment.
Yeah, no, she truly is gone. That is sad as shit. But what a way to go out, you know what I mean? And I feel like the entire book, people underestimated the friendship that Bryce and Danica truly had.
Oh, I did. But I was there for it.
No, like in the book, like the characters. Oh, not like us, not like readers, but like people in the book, like everyone around them was like, why can't you just get over this? Like, why can't you just move on? Why can't you just do this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I feel like everyone decides, and society in books and in real life, like decides how we should grieve, how long we should grieve, the way that we should grieve, the stages that we should grieve. But it's so interesting because you never, like, they didn't ever see it from the other side until this very moment of seeing what Danica truly meant to Bryce and what Bryce truly meant to Danica.
I agree. Snaps. And as, again, the Autumn King, the tough nut to crack that you are, he's like,
Killjoy.
He's like, I'm like, even though I can see it and I'm watching it all play out, I still don't believe it. And he questions how all of this is possible. However, this time it is the Prime who answers, and we have another really, really good quote. With the strength of the most powerful force in the world, the most powerful force in any realm, what brings loyalty beyond death, undimming despite the years? What remains unwavering in the face of hopelessness? With hopelessness. English is hard. We're going to keep it. I've tried this 3 times. It's fine. If you want the full effect, pick up your book and read it.
Tell him.
So even though he doesn't give a clear answer to what he means, everyone looks in the monitors to where their attention turns towards Hunt, who is giving Bryce chest compressions, and we love to see it. And he's using his lightning to jump start her heart in between rounds. And Hunt says, as he's working, I heard what you said, what you waited until I was almost dead, you coward. Now come and say it to my face. And everyone watch as they saw that through love, all is possible.
Yes. I don't have a brat kink, but Hunt Athalar can call me mean names if he wants. And Hunt Athalar only.
I mean, I wouldn't say calling meat names is a brat kink, more of degradation. Which can fall under brat.
I don't think degradation kink is a thing. I don't like that. Degradation. It doesn't sound sexy.
Yes. So, like, talking down whenever, I mean, I guess coward is the most vanilla of them all, I guess. Because that's whenever
I'm just saying, I don't like when people call me names, obviously. Some people, I think that falls under the brat kink umbrella. Calling names. Being mean.
Yeah. I feel like degradation can fall under brat, but I think of just, like, degradation in general.
As a kink? Is its own kink?
Yeah. Have you never heard of that?
I just put it under brat kink.
Why?
I just thought there was praise kink and there's brat kink. There's like two. And I am in the praise kink one because I don't like when people are mean to me.
More praise and degradation. However, they can go hand in hand and you can get a little bit of degradation with a little bit of praise.
Okay. All right. New kink unlocked. Check it.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think I would have to educate on kink today, but I'm here for it.
There's always room to educate on kinks.
Yeah.
I learn something new every day.
Ain't that the truth?
I once got a comment of feedback that I'm not edgy enough. So, here I am. Not edgy now, learning all the kinks. That is, and it's visibly uncomfortable.
No, my brain, and my friend knows this because we share the same brain cell. There's just times whenever my brain goes so far off the deep end where I just been like, I need bleach stat. And this is a time where I'm like, we started the train. I am already in another, I'm in kink land, and I need bleach. Because now my Madison brain is like...
Madison's actually not in Crescent City anymore. She is in the book
praise. No, I'm like traveling back to my dark romance world. I'm just like, hello.
Get it, girl. She's looking for the thought. It. She's finding it.
No, it's there. But I'm just like, I gotta be like Riddick and I gotta keep the inside thoughts inside. I gotta put it in a box and just...
Put it in a box. That's funny.
Okay.
All right, keep it together.
Before I say anything I shouldn't. Okay. Chapter 94. That's where we are. So, Danica, right before she bing-bongs away, she tells Bryce that she loves her. And that final goodbye didn't destroy Bryce as much as she thought it would. But instead, it fueled her, and she emitted a roar of challenge as she raced her way back to Hunt. So, we had that nice little fun moment with Bryce, but now we're going back to Hunt's perspective for just a moment. As Hunt, he is resuming those chest compressions. We love to see it. I feel like Dr. Mike, every time we're just like, yeah,
CPR first aid certified.
Heck yeah.
He's also O2 certified, I'm sure.
Hmm?
Hunt is probably O2 certified as well. CPR first aid, O2.
Probably. He probably's got all the certifications.
Yes.
But
he's actually an instructor.
Listen.
Hunt would be a CPR instructor.
And I will be the dummy.
Yes. Hello, I volunteer to tribute.
I'm joking. Help. I need to stop. I need bleach. So Hunt is resuming those chest compressions. We love to see it. Shocking her heart in between reps, which is what you should do with your AED. So whenever Hunt did wake up after being brutally got by the missiles, he kind of put the little puzzle pieces together, and he knew from the first light being emitted from the gate that Bryce had found a way to make the drop, unleashing the healing first light, and had also found a way to use the horn to seal all the gates trapping the demons. Hunt could feel Bryce's power as she made the ascent, and he knew deep down that he had fallen, survived, gone through torture and hell just to be right here with her in this moment. And he says, come on, I'm waiting for you. Personally, I would have loved a, come on, sweetheart, I'm waiting for you. That's just me. I know you don't like sweetheart. That's just
opportunity. Opportunity.
I don't know if that would have given you the ick, but if he would have said, come on, sweetheart, I would have been here for it.
It only, it only gave me the ick when it was used derogatory.
But even then.
It doesn't give me the ick now. Now it's nice.
Now it's nice. That's nice. I'm going to go to page 779 because they have a little bit of banter back and forth that I love. So whenever Bryce finally comes to, so the first thing Bryce says as soon as she comes to is she says, did you call me a coward? And he says, so what if I did? And she says, too bad all that healing first light didn't turn you into a decent person. And Hunt says, where would the fun be in that, Quinlan?
He's not wrong.
I love their banter so much.
It's very cute banter.
I love a good banter. I read one book where the banter wasn't bantering, but
ew.
This, it healed me.
Top tier. Top tier bantering. Yes. So, chapter 95, all is well. Everything is over. Everything's calmed down, right? So, they finally make it back to the apartment. We find out that Syrinx is okay, right? Because we tucked Syrinx in on the couch way back. She, like, left him with all the things he needed. However, he is somehow on the other side of the door. And she was like, I'm pretty sure I closed that door. So she still has no idea that Syrinx has powers. So he's just been living his little power life. And Hunt's like, I'll explain it to you later, right? So Bryce and Hunt can finally take a breath after all of this shit went down. She then learns that Hunt does not have the tattoo on his brow anymore, but he still does have the slave tattoo on his hand. So, like, he is still technically a slave, but he is a little bit more free than he was moments ago, right? So, we learned that Bryce obviously killed Micah and vacuumed him up, and then Hunt killed Sandriel. So, both of them just, like, killed an archangel and then went through all this shit and then just, like, went home to their house.
As one
to their
does.
Little apartment. So, I mean, I guess where else do you go? Besides home. So there is now a full-ass 8-pointed star on Bryce's chest. And she's like, oh, that's new. Where did that come from? So that's now there. And things are finally starting to get hot and heavy. Things are getting spicy, right? And they're like, yes, we almost died. They're going to have, like, end of the world, not end of the world text. It's going to be great, right? But they still have to answer to a couple of different things in life. So, like, things are getting hot and heavy, and then Bryce's mom calls. Sarah J. Mass, why can you not just let them smash?
Because them smash. It's so, like, yes, but it's so real. Because I was reading, whoa, I need to stop. I was reading a slow burn, and I think after, like, or hold on, because I texted my friend this moment, and I was like, you won't believe what happened. So I was reading a slow burn, and I was 220 pages in, and they finally were about to kiss, like, their first kiss, and it was about to get all hot and heavy, and then my mom's like, dinner's ready. I'm like, you gotta be joking. It was just getting good. So, like, boo, but also real.
I disagree. I don't like it. Let them fuck.
I mean,
let them do the thing.
At least
they almost died.
Yes, but at least we got a little bit more than Sol Lorcan did. Okay, we still got a crumb of spice. Listen, if you're wanting spice, Crescent City's not your book.
It's not that I wanted spice, right? Like, the plot is plotting.
You had
plotting.
That itch, and you just wanted that little itch to be scratched.
I want justice for Bryce and her body. I want justice for Bryce. I want justice for Hunt. No one wants to go to the 33rd with blue balls. Nobody wants that. Let them get their rocks off one time. Unfair. Unjust. She literally made the drop.
That's real life. It's real life, man.
No. I hate it. I hate it. Sarah, let them smash. This is a TikTok short now. We're making it. Somebody make it. Riverside, hello.
Riverside, hear me. Did you get this? This is good content.
Yes. This is good content right here.
Clip that.
So Ember calls. She answers. And she has to go freaking take a shower to cool down. So stupid. So, Ember informs Bryce that the media is now going wild with the story of who Bryce really is and who her father really is, and how much power she had. But it does not say in that story what happened to Micah. So no one has let that out yet. We also learned that Isaiah is alive and well, and he is now technically in charge of the 33rd, and he is currently getting his ass handed to him. Over there, and everyone is not listening to him. So he asked for Hunt's help. So Hunt is going over there with blue balls in hand, and the odds of him being able to stay in Lunathian once everything settles in are a little sus, because we don't know who the next Archangel will be, right? We know it's not going to be Sandriel, which honestly is obviously it's for the best. It's not Micah, because he did. So we're like, everything is up in the air. It's very unknown, right? So right before the end of this chapter, Bryce gets another phone call, and she answers the phone, and on the line is a literal teenage boy, but it's not really a teenage boy, it's Rigelus, the head of the Asteri.
Why a teenager?
Yeah, like,
everything, it's like, oh, I'm gonna be a teenager.
Less intimidating, right? There is another part of her series where a very powerful creature also portrays himself as a young boy.
But more that, approachable. Like, that theory, like, there's a theory tied to the other one.
I do know that theory.
But this one, I'm just like, oh no, a teenager, like, that's not going to do anything. I don't know. Interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Say his name one more time.
Rigelus.
Okay, I always want to call him Regulus. I feel like because there's someone in Harry Potter with, like, a similar name. But Rigelus.
Rigelus?
Yeah, it's a child.
There it is.
So, Rigelus, the bright hand of the Asteri, is calling Bryce. And essentially, they have a little chit chat, mm-hmm. kind of talk about everything that went down, and he's like, you know what? For everything you did, I'm gonna do you a favor. And he frees Hunt for her, as a show of their gratitude. However,
sorry we almost bombed you with missiles.
Sorry I almost killed you, but like,
glad you survived.
Yeah.
Hehe.
Here's your guy, just like as a little consolation. But they free Hunt on the condition, and to also kind of serve as a reminder, that her and Hunt are to stay in the city. They can live together in peace and contentment, but do not draw any attention to themselves and do not use her power on or the horn.
Literally Hunt's dream. Everything Hunt wanted.
Ain't that the truth?
I knew that was going to be so bad. The truth.
I heard it. You heard it. The viewers heard it. Bryce had some beeswax in her ears, something, because she missed the memo.
I relate so much to this. Every time my husband's like, I'm going to sit down and watch some TV, I'm like, actually, there's this bookshelf. I really need this put together. And he's like, great. I'm like, let's go do this crazy thing.
Just fun.
I relate to Bryce in this moment.
Bryce and I are going to have words. Anywho, one simple rule. One simple rule. Hunt's free. They hang up. And then everyone decides to reunite with Hunt and Bryce. So Fury, Flynn, and Rune all meet back at Bryce's. Fury confirms that Juniper is in fact safe. She tells Bryce really quickly before sprinting off just to go make sure for herself because they're in love. And Rune is essentially just like apologizing to Bryce, telling her that he saw everything and that he heard her and that he was trying to reach her to reach the plaque, but there were too many demons, so he couldn't just get to her, and he deserves an award for being a good big brother.
He does deserve an award. Agreed.
But Bryce throws her arms around Rune and they hug, and Rune asks if she meant what she said to Athalar, and he refers back to whenever she said and tell Rune that I forgive him for everything, and Bryce says that she does, and Rune says like that he can't believe that Bryce even cared that he would care about her being starborn or having starlight, and he said that the only title he cares about is being her brother. This
sweet,
man,
sweet Rune,
my sweet angel baby boy. Also, this part, like, I got onto Bryce, now I'm gonna get on a Hunt for a little bit. Bryce shares that Hunt told her, when he told her, I can't recall, because I'm like, you didn't have much free time, but Hunt blabbed about Rune being able to be a Daemati in Mind Talk, and... Yeah. She was like, oh, does Dad know? And he's like, no, and I'd like to keep it that way. And Rune's like, Athalar has a big mouth. And whenever she said, like, oh, and Hunt told me about, like, the whole mind-speaking thing, I was like, people get killed for that. Let's maybe not share it. I don't know how it works in other worlds, but, like, no. No bueno. Don't share that. But
yeah,
also,
that.
As they're kind of having, like, their forgiving moment, but also keep the mind-talking secret, Rune asks if he can come over tomorrow, and Bryce says that she'll add him to the guest list of her apartment.
Yay!
As he deserves. And
yes,
the
does.
Chapter ends with Bryce looking up towards the rooftop where Hunt... the angel, a shadow of night waited, no longer the shadow of death.
Yes.
Because my baby's
no longer
free.
Under Micah control.
My baby's a free elf. He got his sock.
Don't be a shock. Dobby's a free elf.
Dobby's
you know,
free.
I have watched Harry Potter. I'm like pretty sure. I learned and or realized a couple months ago that Dobby dies.
Yeah. That's kind of a
like.
That's
kind of a I big was thing. At. I was at work, and then they were like, "Oh, I went. Dobby died," and I was like, "Excuse me, what do you mean?"
Yeah, I
and
think
I don't know.
I think I was so young whenever I was into Harry Potter that I didn't have an appreciation for side characters as much as I do now, to where I was like, oh, like, sad Dobby died, but, like, I'm chilling. Moving on. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah, watching it today, I feel like that would make sense. I thought either that or, was it so traumatic that my brain was like, we're not going to think about that anymore. He's totally alive with his free sock.
It's not like, oh, I can't look at socks anymore. Like, I can't look at lavender soap anymore. But I can look at a sock. Socks don't scar me. But lavender does.
Lavender soap. I still don't like lavender.
My Shayla.
It's an icky smell. I can't. So, chapter 97. The final chapter of the book. Let's do it. So, there is a lot to do within the city, right? They gotta clean, they gotta repair, and they also need to, like, wait around and see who the next city leader will be. Like, what archangel will just show up and be like, hello, I'm in charge now. And now that Hunt is free, he now has to make the decision on whether or not he wants to be a free and true member of the Triari, which I feel like is a big choice. He's known that position for a long time, so we'll see. He doesn't decide in this book. So we don't know either one of these things in this book. We will learn in, hopefully, the next book. So we learned that Therion and the River Queen promised Bryce that they would use their resources to help the city. And they did, in fact, take people down there during all of the chaos and help them stay under the water to get to safety. We also learned that Fyro, a.k.a. Five Roses, took the least amount of damage during the attacks and that the Fae lost the least amount of members. Go figure.
Can I just say that the way that you spelled Fyro, just for, I know, like, your pronunciation, I was like, Fiero, what are you doing here?
For the people, here's some insight. When I type these notes, I just click clack the fuck away. I don't spell check. I do exactly how I'm gonna say it. Everything in my notes, every pronunciation, every name is spelt wrong. All the time. So I spell it how I'm gonna say it.
We got Fiero, we got Maximus Parshan, we got, what was another one? I don't know. I don't know if Maximus Tarshan ever made the cut, but he's making the cut now.
I'm sure it did. Hypatia, like, all of it.
All of Alien, it. Alien, whenever we were referencing Alien.
I forgot about that. You were like, who is his character? Oh, that's Alien. Don't ask me to spell Ashrover or Galathinius, because it's going to be wrecked.
I
say it correctly in the video. It's in my mind, it's right, because I did the audiobook. But on paper, it is Alien, Fyro, Galathinia. Like, I can't.
Yeah, that's why I stopped reading Quicksilver, because I was getting tired of going, like, back and forth between the words and the pronunciation guide, which, bless Callie Hart for providing that, because you, a real one. For including more than just one pronunciation.
Girl, you should have just messaged me. I would have voice memoed you all of their names.
But then I was like, I'll just do the audiobook because, I mean, like, they do a good job.
That's a good choice. Because
I listened to the audiobook at work, which, thank the Lord, my work, where I work now, it's all sterile. So I have a mask on all day, every day, 24/7. So, like, during the spiky scenes, I could just, like, smirk and giggle and no one's gonna know what I look like or what I'm laughing about because they can't see my mouth. Yep. I'm just like,
tea. She chilling. Yes, agreed. So we know that, again, that the Fae and Fyro lost the least amount of members. So Bryce texted June that she would be at the next dance class, and June calls her out because she's like, I'm so sorry. There were, like, missiles and tanks and demons, and you're going to be at dance class? But, okay, like, I'll see you there. Which I love. I feel like that was very realistic, right? But also, Bryce is healing. right? Like, she gave up dance, which was a huge part of her soul for a long time, and now she's finally able to, like, take that step forward and get back into it. So I like that it was a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And when she looked back on everything that had just happened and all the previous messages that Connor used to send her, the final message that Connor sent her, "Message me when you're home," she finally responded to and said, "I'm home." I know, that one got me.
I gotta go.
Yeah, BRB. That was a rough one. She's like, "I'm finally home." And as she's literally looking across this river and the bone quarter, the mist, like, separates, right? And fucking standing there was the entire goddamn pack. Minus Danica, because she's literally gone into the abyss and truly gone forever. She's being bonged away. But the pack is still there. So this is where it was, like, whiplash for me a little bit, because Hunt's like, "Hey, where are you?" And then she's, like, texting him, like, "Oh, I'm on my way home." As if she didn't just see all of her dead friends as ghosts for the last time.
I mean, because Bryce is Little Miss Elsa, conceal, don't feel, don't let it show.
Yeah, I'm like, good. I'd be like, "Hunt, bro, guess what just happened to me? I'm on the street.
Yo, Athelar, you're not going to believe this."
I looked across the way, and all my dead friends are there.
Dead people.
I'm literally seeing dead people right now. I feel like it's... I call my husband after everything chaotic happens in my life. Like, every time, like, something happens when I'm driving, I'm like, call my husband. I'm like, "You're never gonna guess what just happened.
Oh, you're not gonna believe this."
Every time an animal crosses the street, I'm on the phone.
Wow.
I'm like, "Guess what I just saw? An armadillo."
So you're big into bird work theory.
I have done bird theory.
Did it work?
On him. It was iffy. I feel like maybe I could have picked a better moment to do it. But he was like, "That's nice, like, that you saw a bird." It wasn't like Robert Irwin status. Like,
I was about to ask if you saw Robert.
What kind of bird was it? Yes, Robert Irwin nailed bird theory. And I strive for that. But I do... Send me all your theories, everybody. Because I do test them on my husband. We did bird theory. There's another one that I did just the other day with him. What the heck
was it? The worm? Would you love me if I was a worm?
I don't know if I've done the worm. He better.
Because I saw someone who they did that. I forgot the context, but I was in the comments, and someone was like, "Don't ask Robert Irwin if he would love you if you were a worm, because either he's going to ask you the species of the worm, or he's going to unlock the third option to where he's going to love you actually more of you as a worm than just you."
Than just a regular, yeah.
He's like, "That's, crikey, you know, I love that worm. That's a cool worm right there.
That's a very nice worm." Yes. Okay, so like you just go and you're like, "Would you love me if I was a worm?"
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Hi, I have a question for you. Would you still love me if I was a worm?
Worm?
Yeah, like a worm.
Can I use you for fishing?
Can you use me to fish?
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
you have to, like, take care of me, because I'm a worm.
Absolutely, I'd make you a house, all kinds of stuff.
But what if a bass eats me?
That was the
then joke. What are you going to do?
They have worm farms. You ever seen that?
A what?
Worm farms.
A worm farm? You'd put me on a worm farm with all the other worms?
The house. Yeah. No, by yourself.
You'd make it my own worm farm?
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to live inside the house?
It's inside
the house. Oh, it's inside. Okay, mm-hmm. So if I was a worm, you would make me a worm farm
mm-hmm.
with other worms?
If you wanted it.
Yes. Okay. Would you still love me, though?
If you couldn't talk and you were just a worm, I don't know what to tell you. You're just a worm, so.
There's just a yes or no answer. Would you still love me?
Definitely a yes, sure. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Did I pass?
I don't know. I don't know if you passed.
I don't think I passed.
That is a did he pass? He's putting me on a worm farm.
He passed the second half.
Okay, bye-bye. Leave
that. All right, bye-bye.
Not him setting you up with a worm side piece.
I'm going to be in a worm farm. I didn't like that test.
It's like, listen, he was going to feed you to a fish.
He what? He was like, can I use you for fishing? Bro.
Wow.
What a jerk.
He's like, listen, you're a worm. I made you this house. But, like, also, check out this really cool worm. Like, I think you two would hit it off.
Yeah, here's this other worm you can hang out with.
Robert Irwin would love you if you were a worm, Dallas. Don't
worry. I should have said that. I should have said Robert Irwin would never.
Robert Irwin would love me. Robert Irwin would love me if I was a worm, if I was a bird, if I was a crocodilian.
Anything. All of it. Anyways, okay. Send me your theories, guys, so I can see if my husband passes the test. So, we are officially done with Crescent City. However, we do have the epilogue, which is very interesting and does set up the scene for the next two books. So, in the epilogue, a white cat sat with Jessa Baroba. We know who the cat is. Obviously, it's Adis, who's the Prince of the Chasm. And he never told Jessa about Bryce, which he's like, that's weird that you never would have told me that. And we know that Thea's light was gone forever. And we hear a little bit about Thea, right? And we learned about Prince Peleus. But that all of that's going to come way later in the books. So, like, keep those names in your mind, but you don't have to stress about them too much, right? So, we thought that Thea's light was gone forever since the last battle under Prince Peleus's blade. But Bryce for sure has her light because Prince Adis, who, again, Prince of the Chasm, can see the difference between her and Rune's light because they're different, right? She asked about, Jessica asked about Athalar, and he says Athalar's father would have been proud. And she's like, so sentimental of you. This is such a goddamn Easter egg if I've ever seen one in my life. I want you guys to, like, take that comment and just put it right here in the front lobe. So then it's asked about the library. The library that was down in the gallery is moved to another secret location. All the books are safe. And Jessica tells him not to fuck them over this time, which tells us that something happened last time. And he says he does not plan on it since things are about to get so interesting. Dun, dun, dun. But side note, I thought this was hilarious. So Adis mentions that all of the demons who like left hell, went through the gate in the portal and caused chaos are now being punished. And I cannot think of anything else but how the demons are grounded for life.
It reminds me of that quote from iCarly where Spencer's like, you are grounded for until college.
Yes. All the demons are in trouble and they're all being punished. They're all grounded. They're all scrubbing toilets. They are all getting their phones taken away. They are all... all of the things.
You want to know a crazy theory that I just had?
Yes. The final house of theory and lore.
It might be a stretch, so just sit with me, bear with it. So, how you said that Jezebel tells Prince Adidas to not mess with them.
Are you reading out my notes?
You spelled it right, but whenever I, like, saw how you spelled Adidas, it just reminded me of Adidas.
Prince Adidas.
Listen, the amount of funny names I have for characters in Throne of Glass that are not their names, but I'm just this is who you are. Like, Erwan, the whole time I was doing my buddy read, he was Earwax.
Love that.
Who else? There was someone else I called, Prince Zyrtok, Zyrtek.
Girl, I'm on the edge. What is your theory? I'm, like, struggling right here. Tell me.
So, how Jezebel was telling Prince Adidas to not screw with them this time around, and he says he doesn't plan on it, because Jezebel had, like, the secret library that I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I want to say it's, like, reference in Throne of Glass, I want to say is where I'm getting it from, because she has, like, not only... I mean, she has the Book of Breathings from ACOTAR, but she also has The Walking Dead from Thunder Glass. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what if Prince Adidas is like a reincarnate of the gods from Thunder Glass, because the gods really did be screwing over everybody. And like the gods in Throne of Glass, like they're gone. Where they went, we don't know. But I'm like, what if Prince Adidas was one of them that just did everyone dirty? And Jezebel was also there, and she's like, hey, don't screw it up this time.
Yeah, because, like, again, theories of lore, here we go. Like, we know that Jezebel is old as hell.
Yeah. Old, but looking good.
Always looking good. Looking snatched. Yes. Interesting. Okay. I like it. I'm going to jump on the train. I'm not going to say it's not possible. What a wild ride this has been. Amazing.
It's over.
They know we're done with book one. We hopefully will be back with book two at a later period in time. I don't have a date for that yet. We are jumping into Brimstone. Cass and I are going to be covering Brimstone on our page as well. Madison and I are going to be covering some other fun books. We're going to meet with some fun authors. So we're going to take a quick break from Crescent City, but we will hopefully get back to it at a time in the future too. So thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been so much fun. We are the Goodish Girls. I'm Dallas.
And I'm Madison.
And we'll see you next time. Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.